dark. They will lead the way to the hidden pathways of the heart. In that secret place, that is where I find my start.
Welcome to the Shadow and the Light podcast with internationally renowned meditation teacher, David G.
And heart healer and psychotherapist, Elizabeth Winkler, as we guide you through our unique fusion of ancient wisdom and modern psychology.
Get ready to awaken your true essence, heal your wounds, and transform your shadow into... Hi, David G.
Hello, Elizabeth. I've been thinking about this concept that we're going to dive into today, and it really stems from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I know, don't touch that dial yet. I'm sure you're like, what? Maslow, hierarchy of needs? Wasn't that from 1942 to 1949? Yes, but we are still living those deep teachings and that theoretical underpinning right now. So Maslow pretty much said that we have these innate needs. We have these needs that we are automatically driven to fulfill, driven to meet these needs without there being a reward separate from the fulfillment of the need. There are five levels of needs. The first one is the physiological needs. We need to breathe. We need to eat, to drink, to pee, to poop, to be warm. Think of that. Those are like needs. We're not saying, if you give me more oxygen, I'll breathe and then win a prize. We are doing these things without expectation of reward, known as deficiency needs. And every being on the planet, regardless of culture or civilization or orientation towards life, is on a mission to meet those needs innately. Once those needs are being worked on, we can move to other levels of needs. The next level after those basic physiological needs are needs of safety and security. We need to feel safe. We need to feel safe in our homes, in our apartments, in our cars, walking down the street. We need to feel safe in our relationships. And this is so important because the next level up is the level of love and belongingness. The next level above that is esteem and meeting our social needs, such as appreciation, being appreciated and acknowledged and recognized. Come down a few levels here. If we're not meeting our needs of safety and security, we can't experience love. If we're not feeling that the person who's walking towards us on the other side of the street as we cross the street, if we believe that they're not playing by the same rules as us, we can't even see them as one of us. And we know right now in our society, explorations into the diversity, equity, inclusiveness, and belongingness realm, these are so important, can't even access any of that stuff if there's not an underpinning or a foundational element of safety and security. A phrase that's really gotten some bad press over the last 3, 5, 10, perhaps going back to the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president, the concept of law and order. And we might think, oh, I don't know that I want to live in a world of such law and order. It seems so rigid, so structured, and certainly disenfranchising to a whole bunch of people in that process. But each of us needs to know that we're all playing by the same rules. We need to know that in our workplace. We would probably say, oh, the deepest underpinnings of diversity, equity, and inclusiveness trainings are really based on, have their foundational elements in this concept that we're all playing by the same rules and that no one has the extra advantage or playing by a different rule book at all. So this is really important to me, and I wanted to stress this because there are people that I know. Elizabeth, I'm sure you know them too. Some of your clients are probably in this category where they're struggling to find love in their relationships, and yet they're not feeling safe in their relationship. And I would say, if you think there's love in that relationship, it might in fact be Maya. It might be an illusion. If you're stuck in that one and you're not really making some kind of effort to establish your safety and security, we need to know that we can walk to work or go to work without being attacked, that we can go outside and throw out the garbage or go get water or go do anything and feel safe in that process, that we can do that and not feel threatened. Because anytime we sense that we face a mortal threat, we're going to have all this episodic and chronic stress embedded inside of us. And guess what happens next? Just no way we can move to love. So what's been your experience? We can talk more about the other levels, but the level that if you're not feeling safe in something, whether that's work, whether that's a musical group, you're contributing to a band, whether that's in a think tank, whether that's in a mastermind, pick your environment, whether that's in a family unit, that you're not going to be able to experience love and belongingness.
I love this topic. I love it. So I always say safety is your portal. Safety is your portal. And so there's a lot of ways for us to create that sense of safety in our bodies. Working with the root chakra, working with affirmation. And when I'm listening to you speak, if we're not really dealing with the tigers running after us like cavemen, we all have those tigers in our lives, right? So if I'm feeling unsafe or anyone's feeling unsafe in a relationship they're in, where I think people go is to, you're talking about love, like maybe it's more Maya. That's where I feel people go into this place of deserving and worthiness. Do I deserve this love? Am I deserving of this level of love? And so people fall into this unworthiness place when they're feeling unsafe. I think it's a very old, egoic part of the human self that everybody has, this feeling of not enoughness. Yeah. And when we're feeling unsafe, we regress into that. And so we go into this deserve, my thing about deserving.
Mm-hmm, I do.
If you look up the word deserve, it's about reward and punishment, mm-hmm. about earning. And so am I here to earn your love or am I here to share? Now, relationships are full of challenges. I'm not saying that they aren't, but to be living from that place is a difficult place to be. And so it's a lot of drama, a lot of Maya, as you said. And for those mm-hmm. who don't understand what Maya is, it's disillusionment of yourself and of the other, a lot of projection, a lot of repetition of patterns. So anyone out there feeling like they're hitting their head against the wall on these particular patterns in their relationships, that's not a problem. Welcome to Earth. Mm-hmm. You are a human. And just awaken to what are the patterns in your life right now? What do you find that keeps coming up with yourself, in your love relationship, with your kids, with your parents, at work, whatever it may be? Just note it. Write it down. Now, you can become a prisoner of this, or it can be the place that you rise up. I call it, are you in prison or are you in a prism?
Prison or prism. Love that.
Yes. So again, perfect for the shadow and the light. One foot in the light, one foot in the shadow.
Makes me think of those. They usually have this in the final scenes in a lot of movies where they're like chasing the person who's committed the crime, runs into the fun house and they're firing at the mirror because it looks like them, but it's just a mirror. And as they keep moving through the process, everything is a false lead.
Yeah. So when we are in a pattern of behavior, what we typically have done is I get activated, something activates me, something upsets me, my heart lights on fire. I shut that down. I say, no, I can't handle this. This is not okay. This shouldn't be happening. These are all things I want to eliminate from your vocabulary, should and all these sort of things, but we'll get to that. I shut my heart down. I run to my mind, my personal mind. If I go to my personal mind, guess what? All I can reference is the past. What am I in? The prison of my personal story.
Up the prism.
Correct. If you notice you are in particular patterns, it's okay. You're human. That's all right. No judgment. So just take an elevator from your head to your heart. Take a breath. Pause. Know that there are other pathways. Now, are they pathways we've walked? No, they are uncertain. That makes people uncomfortable. The ego likes to know certainty. It likes to know what's going to happen. Guess what? We don't know. Getting more comfortable with not knowing is part of this prism self. How do you stay grounded? How do you stay safe? You ground into the body. I've talked about before, grounding into the body, using your body as an anchor. Feel the heaviness of your body on the planet right now. Feel the seat beneath you. Feel your foot. Feel your hands. Touch something. That's your home, your inner self, your inner body, right? So getting grounded into the self and getting grounded into the present moment. And you are a master of getting us into the moment, David G. Getting into the present moment is part of the prism. One foot in that light and one foot in whatever you're working with. And then asking, what's the next right action, or what's wanting to be birthed in this moment? What's not working? Maybe it's not what's calling me, or what am I drawn to, or what do I desire, instead of what do I deserve? What do I desire from a deeper level of this moment? You may first have to look at what's not working for me. Those are great teachers to look at. Okay, I keep going into this room and I keep finding the same thing in it, and I feel abused, or I feel brought down. That can be the place that lifts you up ultimately.
This is so fascinating, because I'm talking about needs which have embedded in them all these hints of foundational elements, never to be confused with the shouldas, never to be confused with the worthiness or whatever. As beings on this planet, we need to feel safe. It's not a question of, am I worthy or do I deserve it? It's actually an innate, foundational, elemental need of every single person on the planet. And so when those needs are not met, especially, specifically, safety and security, that throws everything out the window. That's when we start to question, why am I in this relationship? That's when we start to question, am I worthy of love? Am I getting love? Am I being adored? We've all had our hearts broken. Then what's our next step? How are we showing up? Are we showing up whole and then attracting people who are attracted to whole beings? Or are we showing up as broken? Broken people attract two types of people. Meddlers, fixers, that's one category of people who you attract if you show up broken. And predators, you attract that person who wants to take advantage of your brokenness. And that's why so often when our heart's been broken, when we've been shattered, when our sense of self has been challenged and we've stepped away from experiencing the fulfillment of the need, is the need being met? If I don't feel safe, I'm going to appear unsafe and afraid. What do I attract? What's the message I'm sending out? What energy am I sending out into the world? Now, let's say you interact with no one, but that same internal conversation is going to be having inside your head. So you're going to be saying to yourself, there's like that voice inside of you, that being inside of you, who's going to say, and this is a voice we heard as a child at some point, you're not good enough and you can't pull this off. And that message being sent from our head or our heart, or who knows where it's being sent from, but we're the ones who embedded it there. We're the ones who, for the very first time at some point, began to say the same thing as the person who questioned us initially. We will then question ourselves. We heard someone else say, oh, come on, you can't do that. So then we mimic that and we mirror that and we reinforce that. And suddenly it's 10, 20, 30 years later. And that's not a healthy internal conversation.
I have a hack for that. Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, who I love, 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 autobiography of a yogi for anyone who wants to dive into the depths.
Which was George Harrison's favorite book, and he used to give that to everyone that he ever bumped into.
Steve Jobs' only book on his iPad.
How about that? That's a mic drop right there. And the place that he wrote autobiography of a yogi is down in Encinitas, which is right down the road, Self-Realization Fellowship. And there's one up in your neck of the woods.
There's several. I started going there when I moved to LA when I was 22.
So he came to the United States in the 20s. And one of his claim to fame, and I write about this just a little bit in Secrets of Meditation, was that he performed at Carnegie Hall in front of several thousand people singing Hey Hare Sundari. He had all of Carnegie Hall, and in the early 50s, at the end of a speech that he was making, left his body.
Yes. So he had a teaching, I guess you could call it, that if you have a thought that you are going over thoughts that you keep having, just say the opposite thought. Our minds are dual. So if I keep thinking, I hate this, I love it. I have the I'm fine with it mantra that I use all the time for the mind, because the mind's never fine with anything. It pretty much works. But even better is I love it. Usually the mind's just complaining about something. So if you have a particular thought that you're struggling with, just as a experiment. Say the opposite. Why? Because it collapses. Dualism, right? So if I'm saying this and I say the opposite, shadow and the light, here we go.
That's right.
It makes it collapse.
What if this wasn't true?
Exactly. So play with these things. Play with these things, see how they work for you. Now, is that the whole game? Absolutely not. When we work with mantra, we work with something like saying the opposite. It releases the grip of the personal mind, the prison I was talking about, saying stuck in the pattern. That's not the whole game. Getting out of the mind is a battle sometimes. So once you're out of the mind, go into the body. What are you noticing in your body? I'm saying I'm not enough in this way, so I'm more than enough. And then just dropping that. Come into the body, get in contact. And that's when I like to work with the heart alchemy with people and just working with the activation and seeing where that takes you.
But our vocabulary of emotions is not good, right? People ask us, how you doing? And we're like, all right, I'm doing okay. It's so binary. It's either meh or good or hanging in there that we have to this. And growing up in New York, of course, you're not actually supposed to answer the question. That's just how people say hi when they say, how you doing? But our vocabulary of emotions is really small, as well as our vocabulary of fear. And so we have this whole concept of needing to, you mentioned some of this before, to earn something. I need to show up and deliver something. Now, yes, we all say trust has to be earned. But that really what we mean is behaviors need to be demonstrated so that people can see them and mirror them and accept them, as opposed to us reading each other's minds in that process. Earning, merit, gain. Suddenly we start to realize we're constantly trying so hard to get the approval of someone else in a given moment. And Maslow was very clear on this. That's four levels up. That's four levels up. So still at the safety and security level, when someone's like, I'm looking for someone to complete me. If you don't feel safe, if you don't feel secure in that, good luck with that. It can't happen. And not until that level of love and belongingness is actually being worked on, can we then get to that level of feeling appreciation from someone else. So imagine, we have to go through the physiological realm, the safety and security realm, the love and belongingness realm, in order to have our need of being appreciated met. It's even higher up than that. And if these other levels aren't working, and this is the thing that I want to stress, it's a progression. And if these other levels aren't working or we're not working on meeting the needs in these other levels, then we will struggle with the needs of our four A's, attention, affection, appreciation, and acceptance.
In the appreciation, that higher level to me is about receiving, which I see so much challenge with the people I work with of being able to receive anything. Our world, our Western world is type A of I need to do this. I have more and more I have to get. That's obviously those lower levels we were just saying you can get caught in, that prison. To be able to receive that yin energy is so gifting. And I know for myself in a spiritual path, when I was listening and working with lots of different teachers, I was very attracted to more yang type teaching of people who spoke very directly to me like a knife. And I think it's a shadow and a light of teaching. There's a yin and a yang to teaching. And I remember listening to, after Michael Singer the first time, I listened to Muji, who I called him my warm blanket. But at that time, I couldn't receive him. It was too yin for me. And then I always say to people, if something's not resonating for you, don't throw it out. That doesn't mean that it doesn't have teaching for you. It's just maybe not right now.
In order for there to be transformation, personal transformation, there needs to be this divine fusion, this divine convergence. And when I say convergence, everything's got to be there. Message, messenger, and timing. Because we could have the message, you're vibing with this message, the messenger, you are vibing with him as the messenger, but perhaps you weren't ready. Or you were ready, you were so ready, and he was the messenger, but the message was a yin message, and you were yang. You can't even see it. It's not even making its way into you. So we think, oh, it's just a window of timing. Either I'm available here and I'm open to the message here. It's got to be the combination, that troika of those three, message, messenger, and timing.
And also not throwing out what got you where you are. So then people will be like, oh yeah, I used to study with that person. And then they felt done with it, or they found something that they didn't resonate with them and they throw it away. I'm not into that. I think everything brings you somewhere, and then you develop in a new way, and then you move on, and then you develop. It's all meaningful. It all brought us, all of our traumas, all of those things brought us to where we are, and we can honor and learn and grow from all of them.
Well, hold that right there, because we have an upcoming episode on ancestral healing. But before we say goodbye, remind us, what's that little step for us to feel safe when we're not feeling safe? What's that little internal mantra in a particular situation if we feel blocked, if we feel we can't step into it, if suddenly that voice inside of us is reinforcing, no, I can't actually get this done? What was that you said before?
I haven't said it because you just said I can't, which is the thing. I can handle this. I can handle this is what keeps you present when that activation begins. Because the moment you say, no, I can't, you run to the prison of the mind.
Oh my God.
If you're already in the mind, guess what? You say, I'm fine with it. Or you can say the opposite of the thought and then shift into, I can handle this.
Unbelievable. From the sweet spot of the universe, this is the Shadow and the Light podcast. My name is David G. I'm here with the transformation alchemy goddess, Elizabeth Winkler, and have an amazing day. We'll see you on our next episode. And in the meantime, keep meditating.
Of the shadows in the dark, they will lead the way to the hidden pathways of the heart. In that secret place, that is where I find my start. Mm-hmm.